Catholic guy. I met that at an event. He's got an online ministry, a newsletter, 70,000 people, John Martigiani. And I've watched him for 2 years. People try to, you know, believers trying to talk to him online with his newsletter. And he answers, but it seemed like he has no rebuttal. So I've always sent him here and there email. So finally, he's me back. I'm given my position of the King James Bible, right division, is a way to answer all these questions. And so I'm gonna read you what my response and then what his response is to me. If just a brief recap from last week, he asked these eight questions, or a person, a Baptist guy, he might know what he's doing, a saved guy, asked him eight questions about salvation, and he said, what's the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, he got that right. And then he goes, how will someone trust the Lord? And now he brings in salvation by baptism. And he's defining water baptism throughout the whole preface, you know, which we know that's not true. But so I'm rebuttaling that, and I'm giving him scripture from a right division. That's important to know that, because the Bible says to always give an answer with the hope that lies within you. And you should be able to open up a scripture and show someone from the scripture why something is so or not so. That's important, you know. Hey, if you believe something, a lot of times, especially younger people here, you believe it because, you know, you got it from church in your head, but it's got to be coming to the heart. It's got to be committed. I think you're doing the seven steps, brother, to the high school people here. It's on our list that you want to cement Bible truths in the heart, where it becomes part of you, and the Lord says, that's it. And then becomes conviction, becomes real. So then you can be able to tell others. It says in the scriptures, you know, hey, tell others. It's good that your pastor believes it, or your Sunday school person believes it, but how about you? Do you know and believe it? And then it becomes real to you, and then the Lord can use you, because that's what he wants to do. He wants to use you. Amen? So where I left off last time was on, I've literally only answered the first half of the question. We've been going back and forth, because in any time you answer somebody, you've got to build a strong foundation. I mean, like a house has to be built on a strong foundation. What foundation can a man lay, which is Jesus Christ in Corinthians? So you build upon a foundation, and if it's not built right, things are going to come and the house will tumble. So that's one of a parable even in Matthew there. So what I did last time where I left off is, after we got through this 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1-4, then he goes, yes, that's true. And now he tries to throw in baptism. And I covered Ezekiel 36:25, where he's trying to say that's water baptism. But let's pick up right here, and I'll kind of recap and get to the next part here. How does someone have their sins forgiven? Now, through baptism. He's adding that to the word. I said, John, you are kidding me using the scripture to prove your false teaching. You use Ezekiel 36:25-29. You must deal with pretty ignorant baby Bible students. I'm trying to pick them a little bit here. You pull the passage out of context, not divided as I lay this out in my opening foundational remarks. Verses 25 and 29 have to do with the purification of Jews, not the church in the New Testament. So obviously, that's pretty clear. Numbers 8:7. Water is an instrument of the first birth, John 3:5-6. And why I point these verses out, I have his answers already laid out. So I'm going back and putting him in here again, because he says, he'll go back and say John 3:5-6 is water baptism, which is not. So I've already, you know, it's like going to a college class and getting your questions ahead of time and the answers, whether right or wrong, and you know all about them. So I got the questions he asked and his answer. So I have everything in my hand, which makes it easy for me to answer him, not the second birth. Proverbs 5:15-18, Isaiah 48:1. And for time, I'm not going to go through these because I want to get through this here for today. Water purification was cleansing for the body, not the soul. Numbers 19:9. Read the reference I said. The passage promises the glorious resurrection of a nation of Israel during the millennial. And most people are not, like the Catholic Church here, they have no clue. The millennial thing is just, they're bringing in the kingdom themselves, you know. So they have no idea about the millennial reign. Read the passage, John. You can't miss it. You know, so I'm giving them the scripture. Now, next verse he gives, Here is Acts 2:38. Now, if you can get this down, please do. Folks, if you witness to folks on the street, this is, and I'll answer right here. You want to be able to answer this question about Acts 2:38. I use my stuff. I use Brother Hoffman's stuff. I said, he says, Acts 2:38. I said, John, congratulations. Now we finally get to the number one passage in the Bible where more people interpret wrong and go to hell. I tell him right off the bat. You have hundreds of millions of people thinking this is how folks get saved today, including yourself, if I'm reading you correctly. And it is. So I just tell them, I want to build on a sound foundation. And I will show you why and how this is not true. So I know, hey, people, questions you ask, why, who, what, why. Those are good questions. Ask something to find something out, right? Of course, it comes down to right division of the scriptures, the context. Now, the context of Acts 2 is Israel and Jerusalem. So I'm building a foundation here. Pentecost, if you look at Acts 2:38, mark this down in your Bible. Pentecost, verse 1. Jerusalem, verse 5. Judea came for Pentecost. Verse 14. Look at verses 22 and 35. It says, "Ye men of Israel." You can't miss that. Peter's message was addressed to a Jewish man, Israel, not Christians. See, I mean, it's simply you're reading, you know, reading someone else's mail. A Jewish prophet, Peter, delivered a message about a Jewish Messiah to Jews. Verse 33, Peter is accusing the Jews of delivering Jesus Christ to the Jewish elders to crucify and murder the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying right here. Verse 36, house of Israel, whom ye have crucified. You can't miss it. People just pull that out of context and they build this giant doctrines out of it. John, you are reading other people's mail, Jewish mail, not Gentile mail. I'm trying to just let them see that. Maybe, you know, remember, there's 70,000 people on this forum, and sometimes you may be so boastful or prideful, he'll never see it, but maybe the Lord gets it somewhere else, you know? So I'm trying to write it for the people that are reading this thing, if you publish it. We are now getting to the verse you pull out of context to get your false teaching. Verse 37, the question is vital. So this is the question before verse 38. It is not the same question as a saved sinner or question an unsaved Gentile asked in 9:6, which was Paul, and Acts 16:30, which is the jailer. So obviously, what's he... Look at the context and what questions he's asking. It's similar to the question asked by John the Baptist in Luke 3:10-14. Let's look at that for a minute here, because I want to show you. It's real important that you understand the difference here between what's happening in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the transition book, which is Acts, and then New Testament. So. You know, and I get into this later. I kind of cover a few things. Any kind of teaching you do, especially with people like this, a lot of times repetitiveness is the key to teaching. Hearing it again and again, and finally hearing it again. You know, if you're a teacher, right? You know, oh, I get it now. Because I'm slow. If I'm slow, Luke chapter 3, in verse number 10, it says. And the people ask him, saying, "What shall we do?" Remember, that's what they ask here in Acts 2:37. He answered and said unto them, "He that had two coats, let him impart to him, and hath none. And he that had meat, let him do likewise." Then came also publicans to be baptized, and he said unto him, "Master, what must I do?" And he said unto them, "Exact no more than that which is appointed unto you." And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, asking, "What shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." That's not believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so obvious. How can you miss it? It's you're trying to do the things the Lord wanted. You know, it's a whole missing message. The question is asked by a natural body of Jewish people about a national responsibility of a national guilt for the murder of innocent blood. and Matthew 27:25, that's what they crucified Jesus. Matthew 27, look it up. Let's look it up here just so we know all things clear as can be. I mean, I'm trying to build a big foundation with this guy so that if someone reads these verses and like, wow, that makes sense. So Matthew 27:25, it says here, then answer all the people and said, his blood be on us and our children. Boy, what a dangerous thing to say, man. You know what, though? Hey, you know what? Tradition, this is tradition. When Titus came into Israel in 70 AD, that historian wrote that they crucified a ton of people all around the town. You know, I have a funny feeling that all these people that said, let the sin be on us and us, anyone's laying around, those were the people. They kind of got, maybe I'm guessing, oh yeah, all you people that crucified the Lord, all the ones that never repented, there they were hung on the cross themselves. The Lord probably didn't miss one of them. That's just my thought about things. You got to be careful what you say. Your blood be upon mine. And yeah, you know, be careful of that. Now, verse 38 is the most misapplied verse that has been inserted into the creeds of many cults, denominations, and sects as connected with a damnable heresy. You can't be heresy, but there's damnable heresies. That's where your soul depends upon it. Called baptismal regeneration. They claim Acts 2:38 is the plan of salvation. But most, and I got this from Brother Hoffman, but most of these cults and sects teach that they must be administered by their church or order to be regenerated. You see, what we need is our church, our baptism, our water, our authority. This private interpretation of Acts 2:38 varies amongst the cults and sects, such, and I'm covering them all, including Roman Catholicism here, such as water baptism is a means of regeneration. It is a vehicle of grace. It is essential to salvation. Since you're washed away by baptism, it is sprinkled upon a baby, or it must be administered in the same name of Jesus Christ only. That's the John Campbell. You know what Church of Christ are? John Campbell. That's the Church of Christ. I was at Naperville one time, my wife, and we had a couple other people with us, and this guy comes up to me, and he goes, what do you think about Acts 2:38? I go, okay. You know, so I'm trying to find out where church goes to, Church of Christ, or exactly where he's coming from. And so I try to show him this, and he went budging, and I had my buddy Chuck with me. He's a nice guy, and he spent almost an hour talking to him. He wasted his time, you know that. He wasted his time because, and I can tell you when it's changing, I had all these people I want to minister to. I spent an hour talking to one guy, and after an hour or 45 minutes, he was talking to him. I go, got any more time? He goes, no. I go, you should know that. He's wasting your time, and the devil's doing that to distract you from giving out track to somebody else. So that's this Church of Christ. It's them only, and they are only ones that can administer this here, Christ alone. All the proponents of Acts 2:38 assume that baptism equals water and water equals baptism. John, that's what you did in the above verses. I proved you wrong. He's quoted there in Ezekiel. These cults and sects also believe that salvation through physical water can be lost. Find that out. Major doctrine. But there's no need of water a second time. I go, that's comical. That's nothing. You lose your salvation, according to them, but then you can't be baptized again? Don't do that again. I mean, that crazy? It doesn't make any sense. Over other verses that are misapplied are, and I quote the verses here because he puts them later on in his questions, John 3:5, Acts 22:16, Romans 6:3, Galatians 3:7, Colossians 2:1, 1 Peter 3:21-22. I'll answer them later, not for today, but he does put them in there. So I already know I'm gonna name them here. That's what you're doing. You're using verses out of context. All ignore the doctrine of the seven baptisms that a Gentile receives the gift of Holy Ghost before water baptism. And I quoted Acts 10:44 and Galatians 3:14. Get to them later. They also fail to recognize that not one apostle received the Holy Ghost by the formula of Acts 2:38. Ain't that something? Well, the apostles, they didn't get that. They didn't follow that. And the Jews worship in a temple, not a church. Now, let me explain this once we correctly know the context and who, and we know who Peter was addressing. So I lay down a good foundation, because this is his foundation, is Acts 2:38. The gift of the Holy Ghost in verse 38 was again given upon water baptism, because it was a Jewish water baptism. This is a variation of baptism of John the Baptist. See Acts 13:24 and Acts 19:4, where they say, hey, I haven't heard of Paul's baptism, I heard of John's baptism, and it's a transition book. And they gave him the gospel. This was repentance for the Jews because they were involved in killing their Messiah. Remember, the Lord forgave them in Luke 23:24. Remember the seven utterances of Jesus Christ on the cross? Father, forgive them, for I not know what they do. That's one of the seven utterances of Jesus Christ on the cross. He was forgiving. Talk about a gracious person. They're crucifying him, beating him up, and he's forgiving people. Father, forgive them, for I know not what they do. So God's giving them a second chance here in early part of Acts. That shows you the graciousness of the Lord and giving them a second chance. If you watch the video on dispensations, it covers this detail. Instead of me going, writing five pages, last time I was here, I gave him a video on dispensations from Gene Kim. It was 3 hours long. He mentions it in my response. But it's, hey, why write something again? Another work has been done. So I thought it was a great work. So, hey, he covers this in detail. You know, here it is. Instead of me trying to spend pages and pages and maybe confusing somebody here, you know. By not understanding this, many folks get the bad teaching of needing water to get the Holy Ghost in our church age we are living today. Also, the word for, and I get this here, but he always picks on words. The word for in the passage means because of, such as a man was arrested for stealing because of. The phrase for the remission of sins means that God had forgiven someone. In the Old Testament, sins were remitted and forgiven by the basis of the blood of certain animals, right? But their sins were not cleared. I gave them the verses, Ezekiel 34:7, Hebrews 9:14. You know, the bulls, the goats and rams can never take away sin. There is covered. In the New Testament, the remission of sins and the redemption of the soul are freely offered on the basis of pure blood of the Lamb of God with no wafer, no water, or any works involved. Matthew 26:28, again, Romans 3:2. It's pure grace. What's interesting about that word freely, that was a word removed in Genesis, and that's one of the words also done in Revelation. That's a key word. The words that God put in his perfect book are very important to have, okay? Hopefully you now understand this is not the same gospel that we read in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. See, that's what is, oh yeah, I agree with them on that, but then right away he wants to add baptism in. You get that? There is no mention of the death, burial, and resurrections for a person's sins. You pulled it out of context to get a private interpretation. A simple thing to remember, if it's different, it cannot be the same. Get that? So I've really built this Acts 2:38, and you should study it. Maybe you guys know it already, some of you young folks. Get this verse down, because this is a lot of people have it into their creeds and sects, and some people assist on it, you know. Even a lot of fundamental Baptists, too. They quote this thing in here, and they go, oh, so they got saved the same way. And, you know, I get it. I mean, they got salvation by grace, and then without understanding it, they just put it into their creed too, whatever, you know, assuming that it's the same thing. I will stop here for now so you can have time to rebuttal these truths, if you can. I'll continue to answer every statement you make down to question 8, but as you can see, your foundation on baptism is completely wrong. We'll address these other scriptures easily after I see you publish my response to just the first half of the question. So I gave him a lot of stuff. Now, what he did is, he go ahead and sends me 8 questions. I answered them. You know, this guy here, some things I haven't heard. So I'm going to cover now what he sends me. He asks me 8 more questions. I answer them, you know, because I want him to publish them. You know, you probably wonder, well, who's this guy here with, you know, King James, right division? I'm giving detailed answers. And so he says, by the way, I close this here. Now, John, just to give you a little bit of myself, because it's important to know who you're corresponding with. I'm a retired senior businessman whose entire family was raised in the Roman Catholic cult. So I'm speaking from experience of being deceived by this false religious system and great whore of Revelation 17:18. I'm just thrown out there. That's pretty bold, but I want people to look at it. What's this great whore? 17? Look it up. By the grace of God, my entire family and I have been saved and delivered from the devil's clutches. Amen and amen. I'm not that, you know, preaching myself here. Amen. Some of my family members have gone to heaven already, not man-made purgatory. That's what I read in there, you know. And some of us are waiting for the blessed hope, Titus 2:13. And by comments on these later, hang on. To be raptured out or called home naturally. I have never doubted my salvation for 37 years because my God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is not an Indian giver Jesus who will take back his free gift. Another false teaching of many cults and sects. That's a big one, you know. And they believe that. I don't know what they believe, you know. John, like an ex-smoker or ex-drunker or ex-Catholic, once you leave the cesspool of bad garbage, you are its best opponent for speaking against it. John, believe it or not, I'm saying this with grace and truth. John 1:17b. Check it out. God came from truth and grace. Amen. If I did not care, I would not spend the time writing you. Hopefully, you and your readers will see their error and repent. Tim, saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and serving because of his grace. Now, what's interesting is, I'll get to the question you sent me in a minute, but he answers his letters with this statement here. I haven't commented on it yet, but I won't agree with him on it here. Let's see what he says, if I have it here. Oh, yeah. He says, in Christ, through his body, the church. Now, I know what that means, you know. His church is the Roman Catholic Church. You know, I mean, you understand, man. I told him about the four definitions of church. He didn't ask him, but if he asks, I'll give them to him. I mean, hopefully you're teaching, as you know, a lot of times you're doing is you're talking to somebody, you're teaching as you go and giving truth. Remember, we're just men and women, not the Holy Spirit. At the very beginning, the Holy Spirit's got to show you truth. I mean, you know, the Holy Spirit, and I kind of use maybe a little more boldness or crudeness of Paul did because I see the way he answers other folks and then even me, so I'm trying to get a little bold there, but in Christ, they don't get in Christ the same way you do through the Holy Ghost. You know, they get through in Christ through the Eucharist, through his body. Well, you know, that's the Eucharist again, the church. So they're completely, it sounds good, but it's not. You know, they sound like a Christian, but if you ask the definition, it is not. Now, okay, so here's what he said. Tim, you are correct. We need to lay a solid foundation if we are not to have a productive conversation in regard to those eight questions I asked, the first of which you have provided an answer for. I only read the half one. So, I might wrote back. Now he's going to ask eight more. I'm going to try to fly through these real quickly here. So, in order that we need to address this teaching of the right division of scriptures that you believe in as the actuality, the crux of the difference between us, given that I would like to ask you a few questions about your beliefs on the matter, as to help understand the system belief better. I'm not assuming anything about what you believe or why you believe it. Now, you might say, well, John, I provided you with some excellent videos for your research and subject. Just go and watch. Sorry, Tim. I don't have the time nor inclination to watch videos by other people regarding to a conversation that I am trying to have with you. And I get his point, but I want to put him in there. You know why? Because I get to spend a lot of time on these issues here, you know. But you know what, though? He did copy those links in his newsletter. Maybe someone else will watch them, right? I mean, hey, maybe some guy, you know what, that makes sense. Let me click on him. And so I'm trying to, you know, whatever you do, try to get the Lord to use you, get a platform, get something out there. So, okay, Lord, you know, the first thing when Paul, I say, Lord, what will you have me to do? I like that question. Amen, you know, I mean, Lord, what will you have me to do? Oh, yeah, you wait and see. He certainly answered that question, didn't he? Amen? So you got to be careful questions you ask him. So the Lord will open up things in ministry. All of a sudden, Lord, give me a ministry. You know what, though? And he may just give you one. Amen? I mean, are you saying that because you want to talk or show off with somebody? Or you really want to do something for the Lord? Amen? So ask him. He'll do it. I want to hear what you believe and why, straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak. So I give him details, you know. You know, I gave details. So I have some additional questions to ask you might be able to work for your common foundation, a solid foundation, as you said, so that we can be on the same page, so to speak. But before I ask questions about Right to Vision, I would like to answer all of your questions that you ask of me. I ask two questions, you know. In your last email, in order to show you my good faith in this endeavor, if I overlook, please let me know. Well, I'm going to show you his answers. He didn't answer them. I'll show you that. I ask them, I go, hey, what's your final authority, John? Do you have a perfect word of God? You know, so here's what he says. John, didn't your God give you a perfect book? I'm trying to nail him down with final authority. And you'll see later, probably next sermon lesson, I've asked him four times already. He is not going to answer me. I'm trying to nail him down. I mean, what is your final authority? I want to know so we can compare apples to apples. I mean, that's the whole authority, is having authority. And here's what he says. Yes, he did. Actually, he gave us two, the Bible and creation. The Bible, inspired, and inerrant word of God. That's it. Well, I'm like, okay, well, which Bible? You know? I mean, because obviously, later on, he quotes a lot of things here from his the wrong Bible, and I'll show you how, again, that's my foundation was the King James Bible, Right to Vision. So that's a foundation. Obviously, let's talk about that a little bit, you know? I said, John, I'd like to ask you what Bible, after I mentioned there is a boatload of counterfeits, 250 plus. There are other Jesuses, other spirits, other Bibles. Obviously, the devil has to come as close to the real truth without giving a person an absolute truth. What Bible do you consider to be the Word of God and a perfect and without error, as you claim? Or do you not believe this? I did ask this pointed question in my last email. So see, I answered. He's trying to get his readers, he's trying to get this, remember, the love of money is the root of all. He gets money from his readers, you know. And he can't kill his money. In fact, through last year, this Catholic church was supporting him, and they just basically dropped him. And so he asked us, and I think maybe because all the money you're paying for child molesting going on, everything is my personal thought, all the millions of dollars they're spending, they couldn't support him. So now he's asking his readers for money. So obviously got to have a following and keep his thing going. Hey, still a side note. In 1989, I remember Arthur Anderson, the company that supported Enron. Remember that? They went under. Remember that? Well, I ran into a lady there, and they also did the Archdiocese of Chicago, which is a big Archdiocese of Chicago. They did the books for him. And I go, hey, let me ask you a question. What is your biggest line item you have in the Archdiocese of Chicago? She told me in 1989, just $200 million for payoffs of lawsuits from pedophilia. That was in 1989, $200 million. No wonder why I have no money here for this guy. This is 1989, and it got worse. Hey, think about that, folks. That's a pretty scary thing. I mean, paying people off, 200. Yeah, but there are private people in the church that probably may even be saved Catholics. They didn't get saved because they trust the Lord and try to serve the Lord and probably reaching their pocket and probably taking some money they really can't afford, just trying to be able to, and they're paying that. That's why it says, come out of her, my people, there in Revelation, and be by another pecker for plagues. I think it's plagues and curses or plagues, whatever it is, you know, because he wants you part of that thing. So anyways, so just giving you my years of watching him, you know, he's trying to keep his ministry going because it's his livelihood. Okay? Didn't your God tell you how to study it? So this is his question he's asking back to me. Okay? Well, exactly, no, he did not. So these are the two questions I asked him. He's answering both of them, and didn't answer right. He did not, at least not directly. He says he did tell us, though, that the church is the pillar and ground. So he's telling you that the church is a pillar and ground of truth. It's a pillar of all things, and it serves as the foundation of all things. What God is telling us through Paul is the church is the upholder and foundation of truth. The church, which is Jesus Christ. And that's true, half true. God also tells us in Matthew 18:25 that the church is the final arbitrator of disputes between Christians. I'll ask you that. Scriptures also tell us Paul was preaching, persecuting the church, and that Jesus identified himself with the church, well, with the church, Acts 8, 3, 9, 4, and the church is one with Jesus, Ephesians 3, 2, all of which means that in order to properly understand the study of God's word, we need to listen to the church. Now, what he means there is the Roman Catholic Church. You get that? So I already know where you're coming from. I've been there. I said, John, you're incorrect. Unless you have a corrupted Bible, 2 Timothy 5, the Holy Spirit uses the exact word, so you can't miss it, the word study. See how most counterfeit Bibles remove this word? I'm always, my whole thing, I'm showing them again. Hey, they remove this word here. They remove an error over here. I keep adding it in there because someone reading this, wait a minute here. They're moving that word, they're moving that word, they're moving that word. They remove this word here. Remove this word so folks will not even know what to do. That stinking devil, he has confused a multitude of saved and lost folks. And then answers, last part, I said, John, there are four types of churches in Scripture. So I will assume, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe you are referring to the body of Christ. So that's what I'm thinking in this context, because it's what it is, because of your Scripture references. He gave Scripture references to the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. This has absolutely nothing to do with any denomination. So when we say we need to listen to church, please explain this and give me Scripture. Of course, give you a little heads up because I'm almost done today. He doesn't answer any of this stuff. Because you know why? He can't. How if you got all these newsletters, how do you answer that? I mean, honestly, you can try to say it's true, but not. He says here, okay, now he asked me some questions, okay? John, do you know the two places in Scripture where a devil shows up and gives a play-by-play verse of what he wants to attack? I covered it last time. And I watch how he's picking me out a little thing here. He says, well, actually, there aren't just two places you mentioned, Genesis 3 and Luke 4, which he didn't comment on them all, how important they were, which I am very familiar with, by the way. There's also a book of Job. Job is in your Bible. Well, no kidding, okay? But apparently you haven't familiar with the story of Job, are you? Look at Job 16, 1 and 2, Job 1 and 2. The devil does indeed show up and make a pretty big mess of things with Job and his family. It kind of makes me think that you aren't really familiar with the Bible. So here's why I said, no, John, I am very familiar with the book of Job, but the occurrence of the book of Job, the main characters involved, Job, has no idea of what is going on behind the scenes. And two examples I gave you in Genesis 3 and 4 is a direct attack on God's word, right? Vision. That was the context of what I said. Just like it is today, the two main ways the devil is confusing people today. So you can see in this work here, they're trying to pick out. So I got real, when you talk something like this, be real careful, because you know why? They're going to pick things out. And I mean, and that's okay. Just so you know, if you use a word, they're going to try to pick it out. And you have to rebuttal it back. And then so if he's publishing it, which he did publish this, hey, this guy's answering correctly. So you're gonna build sides on here. All right, what I'll do next time, I'm going to fly through because of our time. He asked seven more questions about what I believe, and they're good questions. You know, does Paul and John have the same gospel? And, you know, I mean, obviously he must be some, and I tell him straight, I give him chapter, I give him verse, no question. I mean, I really, really run through this, we'll cover next time, and this is, no, give you a heads up, he don't publish any of it on this part. You know why? Because he's trying to pick flaw in my position. And if you have flaw in position, it'll come out by communication, right? Amen? But if you have a foundation that's rock solid, which I, without a doubt, we have the Word of God here, and he's always trying to get me to point to I'm flawed, but I always point back to the book. The book, our King James Bible, will stand on its own. You understand that? You're a flawed man. Aren't you flawed? Yeah, but the book. I keep going. Anyway, you got a foundation that and then you're really bragging on the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the living word, right? I mean, you know, he's Jesus Christ, and the written word and living word, they're so close together, you know, so I'm trying to get that so maybe his folks can see it. So I'm going to stop here because of time. And when I teach again, whenever that is, I've got a calendar here, I'll fly through these here. But point being is, Know these things. The only way you're going to get good at knowing how to answer anybody is to have conversation, get some dialogue, and don't be afraid to tell someone, hey, I don't know that answer. I'll find out. That's okay. Don't make something up. You know, go back and study it, and the Lord will show you. And then when someone asks you a question, you'll be able to answer it. And then you know what, though? You'll build upon your own faith. God will use you for others. And all that, though, you'd be surprised. Someone will change their belief, whether it be a bad teaching, or folks will trust the Lord, and the Lord will be using you. It's really a great thing. All right. Father in heaven, thank you very much for an opportunity just to open up your word here and just, you know, get boots on the ground with some of these folks here, Lord, that the cults and people that are looking for the truth, that we'll be able to answer them properly and accordingly to your word. So thank you very much. I pray as we close this Sunday school service up here, prepare our hearts and minds for the music and for Pastor Hoffman and what he has for us, that may be glorified what is said and done. And we ask this in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.